Will you bow your heads in prayer with me as I begin my message this day? Gracious and holy God, I do praise and thank you for this opportunity that we have to be here this day. And as it is a snowy day today, just pray for the safe travel of those who are going to places of worship. Lord, just pray that as you have laid this message about your son's baptism, may it speak to every one of our hearts about the significance that that event has for each and every one of us. And may we be inspired. In the name of Jesus, amen. Today is the traditional baptism of Jesus Sunday, if you haven't figured that one out already. I hope that the music and everything has certainly surrounded that, this is the Sunday of the baptism of Jesus. And you know, the interesting about the scriptures, and we don't know a whole lot about Jesus' life from the time of birth and his childhood. There's not a whole lot of information for us. But I do believe that there's a piece of it that shows some significance for us in that we have the story of the birth of Jesus, and then not long after that, we have this story of his baptism. And I think beyond just those being two very significant events, I think there's a further message that we need to realize as they are so closely knit together. And so I think we need to know that so that it helps us to have a much more complete picture of who Jesus was and how he was to be for the world. The birth of Jesus is truly as the manifestation of that Jesus was truly, fully human, that Jesus was a baby, then born just as babies are born today. And Jesus is God with flesh on, and he became fully human so that he would experience life as we do. Therefore, that Jesus would experience the temptations, the joys and the griefs of human life just as we do. And so Jesus was a baby and then a little boy before he finally became this man who was to do ministry that changed this world. The baptism of Jesus. We know that Jesus was fully divine as God descended upon him in that moment. It wasn't a silent moment in the history, and God truly spoke. And God claimed that Jesus was his own son, showing us that Jesus is fully divine. And so what he was saying is, what and who I am, Jesus is also. So God let us know that Jesus was of God, just as God is divine and holy, so too is Jesus. So when we consider these two events and the major message of both of these events, we're reminded that Jesus is truly fully human and fully divine, and that foundational belief is absolutely essential to us as Christians. We remember his birth at baptism, fully human, but we also remember his baptism, reminding us that he was fully divine. So today, as we look at the scriptures and this event in the life of Jesus, we need to always remember that this was one who was fully human and fully divine. So I read to you from Luke chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, and then I'll skip to verses 21 through 22. If you're reading along in the Pew Bible, it's on page 60. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you, I am well pleased. God always richly blesses the reading of his word. So on this baptism of the Lord Sunday, at the next hour, will take time as a part of worship, and we will be baptizing two of the infants of this congregation. We'll be baptizing William Benjamin, the son of Matt and Eva Jones, and also Olivia Catherine, the daughter of Paul and Abby Obzanski. And I know that because we typically baptize at 11 o'clock, that baptism piece is not always so in the front of our minds, I think, oftentimes when we don't see that happening on a regular basis. Before this day of baptism, and before Mike and I will baptize, whether it's adults or parents of a child, we spend time with those candidates, always in a time of discussion beforehand, so that those persons making this commitment can know what that commitment is about, and will also have any of their questions that are answered about baptism, because honestly, many of us come from various denominational backgrounds, and some of us have slightly different understandings of baptism, and so we like to address those, so that truly when coming forward to be baptized here, we know what that moment and that commitment is all about. And one of the key things, I think, as a part of that time is we want those coming for baptism to know that baptism is more than just choosing that baptismal gown or more than being just about that water, that there truly is a much more significant meaning that is a part of that experience and a part of that moment of baptism, and always, most importantly, want us to know that that's because that's significant to us as Christians. I think it's similar to a story told about a wife as she had watched her husband looking down at their newborn baby, and as she watched, what she saw on his face was just delight and disbelief and enchantment, and she was really just struck by the emotion that she saw him experiencing. So she put her arm around him and asked at that time, "A penny for your thoughts." And he replied, "It's amazing. You know, it's really amazing that you could make a crib like that for $69. But isn't that always a chance in many, many areas that we can get lost on something peripheral and something insignificant? And that's what I don't want baptism to be or to become for us, is that I want us to remember what is foundational in baptism and why baptism. And so we need to understand and to see that God's handiwork is all throughout that experience, and that's what makes baptism important. Maybe if you were baptized as an infant, if you're an infant, you probably don't remember that moment. And I know I hear people say that, you know, I didn't remember that, I didn't know that I was being baptized. But I also would say that I would bet that as you were baptized, you had some pretty early memories of the church as you were a child that had something to do with that baptism. As a part of the time that we baptize babies, some of the readings that we do, there's a part that we are truly reminding the congregation, congregation, you are making a commitment here also. You are making a commitment to these children that are being baptized to raise them. And the words in that liturgy, they read like this, "Will you, the congregation, will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these children before you in your care?" So when we read those words at 11 o'clock, what we're saying is to Olivia Obzanski and William Jones, the first two children that were baptized, first two baptized members of 2016, that as a congregation, we're making this kind of commitment to you to be a part of your faith journey, and we're going to support and guide you. And I often say, you know, that doesn't mean that all of us are going to personally know William or Olivia. But there are ways that we as a congregation are a part of that experience and a part of that commitment in baptism. Maybe if you were baptized as an infant, you remember that you entered the church that your parents took you to every Sunday, and you know what? There was a facility where you could take those children so that they could be encouraged and supported in their growth. And that's a part of how we support baptism of children, is that we make sure that there is a place. And maybe you remember glimpses of some faces of the people who smiled at you and made you feel loved and important. And again, truly a reminder to us, these children were baptized by this congregation, making a commitment. So it makes a difference how we look how we speak to and how we respond to even the children as they pass through the hallways. How do we look at them? How do we experience it? Is it with loving arms and words and looks? Or could it be sometimes with kind of judgment because maybe their behavior is just not exactly what we think needs to be in the church? But we want it to be one that is loving. And then you might remember some of your Sunday school teachers who taught you about the Bible. And so these are all some of the ways that we continue to support and encourage those babies and children who are baptized here. There may even be some snippets from worship that you remember, whether it's what happened as a part of worship, or it may even be the persons who sat around or near you, what they said or did to you. These things are so important for us as a congregation so that we encourage our children. As an infant, I was baptized, and my parents were the ones who made that commitment to the church. And I know that during that service, they promised to God that they would keep encouraging me and that the church was going to keep encouraging me in my faith journey. I don't remember my baptism, but I do remember, and I do know that my parents made a commitment and a community of faith made a commitment to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ according to the example of Christ. I know that. Baptism came to be because 1,000 years before John the Baptist even came on the scene, King David was the ruler over Judah and Israel, and God had promised that the descendants of King David would reign forever. But after King David's son, there came Solomon. And when Solomon died, Israel decided that they didn't want to follow this king appointment from God and instead wanted to choose their own king, and that's what they did. And as a result, the Israel fell. The North and the South Kingdom, they both fell. The North Kingdom fell to Nineveh in 722, and Judah fell to Babylonians in 587. And in this time of desperation, it was as if there was just the Jewish people were scattered. But they remembered. They remembered that God had made a promise to David and to look for a descendant of David to rise as an anointed king or Messiah, and that Messiah would reunite the people and he would establish the reign of God here on earth, and that there would be peace and prosperity. But in the meantime, the Jews had to feel totally orphaned because God wasn't in their midst. At least it didn't seem like that. So the crowds would come to hear when John the Baptist appeared on the scene. And remember, the crowds who came, many of them were Jewish people. And they were remembering that there was this promise, and they were still hoping that God would come back and fulfill this promise. So they said to John, "Are you the one? Are you the Messiah that we're waiting for?" And of course, John said, "It's not me, but there will be another who will come and baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." When John emerged, the people flocked to him, and they wanted to be baptized. And throughout the whole country, there was this feeling of this movement toward God. And Jesus, as a Jewish man, would have been in that crowd, and he would have seen what was happening at that moment. And he would then identify himself as being a part of what needed to happen for that movement toward God. And so John being there and baptized was almost a call to action to Jesus. And his first step was to identify himself and connect in a connection with God. And then that voice spoke to Jesus. And that voice mapped out the entire course of what Jesus' life was going to be about. I want us to remember that Jesus was a Jewish man, and he would have been raised in a family of faith. So they went to temple regularly. They would have been familiar with the Word of God, not in the way that we are, and that we have a Bible to read, but they would have been familiar because it was oral tradition. They told the stories, and there were scrolls that would be read in the temple. And so Jesus, as a Jewish man, was familiar with those words of what we call the Old Testament. And at that moment when Jesus was baptized, there were the final words that God said to him, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." And he would have known, and that would have rang a bell in his mind, that, you know what, in what was said to me just now, I'm reminded of two scriptures that I've heard throughout my life. First, he would have remembered Psalm 2, verse 7, and that's the description of a messianic king. And it says, "I will tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.'" He would have known that psalmist was saying this was going to happen. These are the words. And then those words were spoken to him. And then also in that same sentence, Isaiah 42:1, which is a description of a suffering servant. And when Jesus would have heard what God just said, he would have remembered these words from Isaiah that read this way: "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations." And putting all this together, then he would have realized that he was the Messiah. He was God's anointed king. And that was not going to be involved in power and glory, but what was going to be involved was suffering and a cross. So Jesus saw the cross that would lay ahead of him. So when he has this experience himself and he's baptized, maybe we need to ask, why did Jesus need to be baptized? Right? I thought Jesus was the sinless one. I thought Jesus was to be the Savior of the world. One reason he needed to be baptized was he knew the condition of humanity, and he knew that he came to share this kind of life with us here on earth. He knew that we were sinful, that things were hopeless for our lives, that we were helpless, and that we were in a pitiful condition. And so he knew he had to become the same as we sinners to save us, and baptism was the means to that end. And so Jesus was baptized like a sinner to serve as our Savior. He provides a baptism for sinners in order to save us. His baptism saves us. And his baptism with sinners marked him as the substitute for sinners. By being baptized like a sinner, he showed his willingness to become our Savior. Paul reminds us and reminded the church in Corinth of this purpose as he said these words in chapter 5, verse 21. "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." This is like the great exchange. See, what happened was God swapped off the holiness of his son, and he took on the sinfulness of our fallen race. And all this is pictured at the baptism of Jesus. He was baptized like a sinner to be our Savior. Jesus was baptized too, just like we are. And that short phrase that was penned by Luke says so much. At the River Jordan 2,000 years ago, the Son of God received that same baptism. He was with that same crowd of prostitutes and tax collectors who were there to be baptized that day. 2,000 years ago, it was that same water. It was at the Jordan River that he was baptized, and that same water was being used to baptize those who were separated from God because of their sins, and that same water was used to baptize the one who brought sinners back to God. The baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, all of them were receiving, all who were there, the soldiers and the farmers and the husbands and the wives and the old and the young, all that was same was given to Jesus 2,000 years ago. And we can be thankful that Jesus stepped into that stream. He was baptized as a sinner to be our Savior. And when he was baptized, it marked the beginning of his public work. Yes, although he had begun living as our substitute when he was conceived by the Virgin Mary, but his true ministry and the presentation of himself didn't happen until he was in his 30s. And it was at his baptism that he openly shared his willingness to go to the cross for us. So we can understand what happened when he was baptized, as Luke said, "And as he was praying, the heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my son, my beloved. With you I am well pleased.'" The Holy Spirit confirmed that although Jesus was baptized like a sinner, he was to become the Savior of the world. And he declared to all sinners that this is what we would need. And we can't let that amazing piece of baptism be lost. He didn't need baptism. Scripture clearly tells us that he was without sin, but he became the substitute for sinners. Second reason Jesus needed to be baptized. And it says that John said that there would be, yeah, I baptize with water, but there are additional blessings that this Messiah will bring. And one of those additional blessings was that Jesus would be so much more. And after Jesus' suffering and death and his resurrection and victory over death, he would baptize his believers with the Holy Spirit. That although Jesus was no longer here with us on earth, there was one still to be with us. And so we understand that 50 days after Easter, what we now call Pentecost, that it was that Holy Spirit that came down to be with each and every one of us. And Peter told the crowd at that time, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we are able to receive that gift of the Holy Spirit because of the baptism of Jesus. Having the Holy Spirit within us enables us and empowers us to live a new life. It gives to us a new energy and a new focus and a new way, and it transforms us. And that's what Jesus said. That's what Jesus brought to us, was this gift of the Holy Spirit. So secondly, Jesus needed to be baptized so that we could receive that gift of the Holy Spirit. And finally, third, Jesus needed to be baptized because John the Baptist said Jesus would not only baptize us with the Holy Spirit, but he would also baptize us with fire. And so what does that mean to us? What have we received through the baptism of Jesus, this gift of the holy fire? And it's a symbol of purifying us and cleansing us. The baptism that Jesus provides for sinners brings fire into your hearts, and it purifies us from our sins. It convicts us, if you will. It reminds us that there's another way than perhaps the way that we've chosen. The Apostle Paul wrote, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. That baptism of fire, that change, that transformation offers us an opportunity to be new and to become more like Christ. Last Sunday, I talked a little bit about the vision of Carmel United Methodist Church and the vision statement that we have, and connected that with New Year's resolutions, meaning that's New Year's resolutions are really the visions that we have for the upcoming year. So that's what we have for 2016. And I know that many people make resolutions, but I had challenged us to consider making a resolution with the vision of God in the forefront, guiding us through 2016, guiding us in the resolutions that we would make. And so I reminded us that in our vision statement, we have three words that we have chosen to really stand out and make a statement about who we are as a church: connect and grow and serve. And so as a part of the service yesterday, last week, I'd given everyone a piece of paper, asked that you write on that piece of paper one word: connect or grow or serve. And folks brought those forward and left those here. This last week, I counted those as I promised I would do, so I can have an understanding of what this congregation is asking for in 2016. And what was clear to me is what in the tally, what really stood out was that there were nearly 200 people that said grow was their desire. And when we talk about grow, we say, how do you grow in your faith? We suggest grow groups and we suggest Bible classes. So that was what has said to me, and I've said to the staff, that tells us what we really need to be about, looking and offering opportunities this upcoming year. And I also made the commitment this coming year that every Sunday before worship that I would spend time in prayer specific for this congregation and praying for those opportunities of connecting and growing and serving. And I began in that manner today before worship. One of the ways that we can know that we grow in our faith journey and is to be a part of our faith journey is baptism. And that's Jesus, what Jesus taught us was to be a part of our faith journey. So today what I'd say is if any are here who have not been baptized, I invite you to become baptized. You can talk to myself, you can talk to Mike, you can call the office and ask what that entails. But I encourage you to be baptized this year. If you've already been baptized, what I don't ever want us to get lost to is kind of the picture of that father in that cradle. I don't want us to just see the surroundings of baptism and forget what the real core of baptism is about. So I want us to take time today to remember our baptism, to remember what is shared with you today about how and why Jesus was baptized, to remember today that Jesus was baptized so that we would have salvation, and to remember today your baptism and to be thankful. Martin Luther a great preacher and minister of the 16th century and a part of the Reformation, a Protestant Reformation. These three words, I am baptized, were so significant to him. And apparently persons say that regularly as a part of his life, if he was responding to something or even saying it to himself, they would hear him say, I am baptized. And I think the beauty of that is it reminds us how powerful it is to remember our baptism and what happened in that. And it was not unusual for him to use those words when it seemed to him that the whole church had left the precepts of the gospel. And when he was under scrutiny of the church officials as to the truth and beliefs, and believe me, he had to stand up against many of those. And when his life was being threatened and when he had any self-doubt, it was not unusual at those kinds of times and experience that you could hear him say, I am baptized. And he said those words because he knew the power and the strength of those, and he knew that he needed to be reminded in those moments of the importance of that. And those words belong to Martin Luther, but they also belong to each and every one of us. Because when we have that water poured over us or sprinkled or we're immersed, we're baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And we need to remember that that is a part of who we are. I am baptized. So here's what I'd like to invite us to be about today, is to remember our baptism. And so after we'll sing our closing hymn today, and then we will also, I'll offer a word of benediction. And I have the baptismal font in front here this day, and also a basin in the back, water also. I'd like to invite you as you leave today. Mike will be up here and I'll be in the back. And the words that we will offer to you are these. Remember your baptism and be grateful. And then we invite you to dip your hand in the water and to just place some water on your forehead. And your response is, I am baptized. And so that when you leave here today and you go into your world, you remember that you are baptized. And you remember that you go into your world in your life not on your own accord and not with your own energy, but you go forward into the world with the energy of the Holy Spirit inspiring and guiding you. And that's what's important for all of us. I invite those of you who are at home this day watching us on the video to just take that moment and find a place of water and to also remember your own baptism, putting your hand in water and just saying, I am baptized. There is significance in our baptism, and we have to remember that it's more than a baptismal gown and just the water. It's about what Jesus Christ did for us through his baptism, and that we now have the Holy Spirit that resides within in us. And that's the blessing of this experience. Will you bow your heads in prayer with me, please? Gracious and holy God, we give you thanks for your Son who came to this world, who lived in this world just as we live, who lived with all of us sinners, but yet remained sinless, who was obedient to you even unto death, and has given to us miracles and gifts beyond belief. This day, Lord, we remember our baptism through Jesus Christ. Amen.